Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review, who joins us by phone from New York City today. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We have good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives today. And first of all, Jim, as you pointed out in the jolt today, congratulations, everyone. You've made it to November. You've only got a week left before this campaign is over. Jim, I think we're going to make it.
Knocking on wood, Greg. Let's not take anything for granted yet, okay?
Well, that's true. There are 7 days to go. And then, of course, no matter who wins, we then have to try and survive that. So just getting to and through November 8th is not necessarily the end of the line. But let's start with the good martini. And it goes back to something you referred to yesterday. We were talking about the Democratic attempts to slam Jim Comey and basically being complete hypocrites compared to the way they were after Comey said no reasonable prosecutor would bring charges against Hillary Clinton back in July. You talked about how Donna Brazile, the acting chair of the DNC, blocked you when you asked her if she still believed, as she did back in July, that attacking Jim Comey was attacking the rule of law. Well, since our conversation yesterday, things have gotten a little bit worse for Donna Brazile, thanks in part to WikiLeaks. There was a second question at a CNN debate. I guess the first one was at a town hall. This one was at a debate where Donna Brazile fed the question to the Hillary Clinton campaign. This is from March 5th, 2016. This is to John Podesta and Jennifer Palmieri. The subject line is, one of the questions directed to HRC tomorrow is from a woman with a rash. And then in the body it says, her family has lead poison and she will ask, what, if anything, will Hillary do as president to help the people of Flint? CNN has now cut ties with Brazile, who was a contributor at the time. It says, according to this hot air story, that they actually cut ties back on October 14th. But, Jim, Donna Brazile's actions, not only with you, but with this whole campaign, show that the new DNC chair is not a lot different than the old one.
No, she isn't. And it's really disappointing. I know there are a bunch of folks at CNN who are genuinely surprised by her actions, really feel betrayed, really feel like this is completely out of line. Yes, when you hire somebody like Donna Brazile, you're asking her to give the Democratic perspective, to kind of give the Democratic argument in all of their roundtable segments, and she did that perfectly fine. But the question is, when you are a Democratic partisan, in her sense, a consultant, still with clients in the Democratic Party, still plugged in, still very much an operative of that party, whose priority is to help that party, how much can you trust them? How much can you count on someone like her to put the interest of her news organization employer ahead of the party affiliation that she has? And she demonstrated you can't trust her at all. Now, CNN insists that she was not given that question by anybody that they know of. So somebody somewhere must have given her the woman with the rash is going to be asking about lead poisoning in Detroit. I hope CNN is conducting a little bit of an internal investigation there to see who was helping her in this. Because clearly, not just Donna Brazile, but someone else there believes that their job is not just to report the news, but also to make Hillary Clinton look good. And that's kind of appalling for what wants to be, what touts itself as the most trusted name in news. So good that they had cut ties, good that she's not going to be coming back as a contributor. There's been some talk of people saying, look, maybe this is, we should reevaluate why we have, paid people whose primary job is to be politics, is to help campaigns, to help the party, also collecting a paycheck from news organizations. And as somebody who works in news and doesn't work as a party, I think that's terrific, Greg. I don't know about you.
I think that's a very good policy. I think that could be very lucrative and fair.
It's a win-win, yeah.
I remember Jake Tapper, when the first story came out, he was appalled that Donna Brazile had fed the question about the death penalty to the Clinton campaign. That means that somebody either who was on stage is either appalled here or potentially complicit. I certainly don't want to make any accusations here, but there should be a lot of people really angry with Donna Brazile right now, and hopefully that's the case. As we transition to our bad martini, Jim, I'm reminded by one of my old mentors here in Washington who passed away about a year and a half ago, Stan Evans, who once said, there are two parties in Washington. There's the evil party and the stupid party. I'm a proud member of the stupid party. And that's exactly where we are today in our bad martini. Richard Burr, as we've mentioned a few times, is a two-term senator from North Carolina. He's running for a third term. He was not supposed to expect a fierce competition, but he is. He's pretty much in a deadlocked race. The polls as of late have looked a little bit better for him. And then he commits yesterday what appears to be an unforced error. I don't know if it'll affect the race a lot, but it certainly could. He was at an event with constituents. A woman asked Burr to take a picture with her husband. He made a little joke about that and then saw that the guy was wearing an NRA hat. And so that made it all better for him. And then he had this to say.
Nothing made me feel any better than I walked into a gun shop, I think yesterday in Oxford. There was a copy of Rifleman on the counter. It's got a picture of Hillary Clinton on the front of it. I was a little bit shocked at that. Didn't have a bullseye on it. But on the bottom right, it had everybody for federal office in this particular state that they should vote for.
Now, the audio there is not great, so if you missed any of that, Burr essentially said he went into a gun shop in North Carolina the day before, saw a copy of, I think he said, Rifleman magazine on the counter, had Hillary Clinton on the cover, and he said he was surprised because it didn't have a bullseye, and then said he also noticed that on the cover there they had listed everyone that they endorse for gun rights at the federal level in North Carolina. I'm assuming he was on that list, so... Jim, was easy to point out that there was a magazine that said he would support the gun rights. Why he had to go to Hillary Clinton and the bullseye is just going to feed a Democratic narrative and make a very easy TV spot for the Ross campaign in the last few days here.
It is. And, you know, should you vote against Richard Burr because of this comment? No. But it's just a stupid thing to say. It's a completely, as you said, an unforced error. Can this be overhyped? Sure. I think we all remember the Paul Krugman insisting that the Facebook illustration that was on Sarah Palin's page that somehow motivated the Tucson shooter, who in fact was a paranoid schizophrenic, and who no one has ever saw that particular graphic on her page. Yes, the left is always going to be quick to say that the other side is encouraging assassination and that their incendiary words are inherently damaging, whereas ours are no particular big deal and that's nothing to worry about. Yes, there's a double standard, but that doesn't mean Republicans have to make it easy for them by going out and saying something like that. It would be tragic, and I think I'd even argue stupid if he were to lose his seat because of this comment. But, you know, in the closing week of the election, you don't hand your opponent a stick to hit you with, and that's kind of what Burr did here.
Yeah. Ask Senator George Allen about what one comment can do to your campaign, and we'll see what the narrative is with the local media and over the last several days of this campaign for that important Senate seat. On to the crazy martini now, and this is kind of double-barreled crazy, but it follows up on another thing we mentioned yesterday, because also in the wake of Jim Comey's letter saying that there's more emails they're investigating that could be pertinent to the Hillary Clinton case, Harry Reid, the Democratic senator, as we mentioned yesterday, sent out a letter to Comey saying, hey, how come you're doing this so close to the election, but you're not talking publicly about the fact that you and your other colleagues there have airtight information about essentially collusion between the Russian government, Donald Trump, and his associates. You need to get that out there as well. Well, this is from the New York Times yesterday. For much of the summer, the FBI pursued a widening investigation into a Russian role in the American presidential campaign. Agents scrutinized advisors close to Donald J. Trump, looked for financial connections with Russian financial figures, searched for those involved in hacking the computers of Democrats, and even chased a lead, which they ultimately came to doubt, about a possible secret channel of email communication from the Trump Organization to a Russian bank. Law enforcement officials say that none of the investigations so far have found any conclusive or direct link between Mr. Trump and the Russian government, and even the hacking into Democratic emails, FBI and intelligence officials now believe, was aimed at disrupting the presidential election rather than electing Mr. Trump. So in the span of just about 48 hours here, Harry Reid is once again proven to be a bald-faced liar. And Jim, on the other side for Trump, turns out that he's not in cahoots with Putin. Turns out he just believes all the nice things he says about him.
Yeah, this is a classic good news, bad news situation for the Republican Party. The good news is that now, as far as the FBI has known, and I think clearly the New York Times is not eager to clear Trump of any criticism against him, we can say pretty definitively that Donald Trump is not being bribed to say nice things about Vladimir Putin, and he's not being blackmailed by the Russian intelligence services or anything like that. That's the good news. The bad news is apparently he really means all these things, which is arguably even the more disturbing scenario. I'll let the listeners sort that one out for themselves. But then it kind of, you know, the idea of having Harry Reid called out as a liar, it's kind of, you know, it always makes us feel good and always kind of affirms our suspicions. That would seem like too big a deal for them to hide. It sounds like they look pretty thoroughly into this. So again, you know, you look back at Trump's comments over the years, what he said about Tiananmen Square, what he said about Saddam Hussein and Muammar Gaddafi. His instincts are just to praise brutal authoritarian strongmen for saying, well, they preserve order and they do what they're supposed to do. So in some ways, we shouldn't be that surprised by Trump praising Putin. And we shouldn't need to, there's no need to look for very complicated secretive explanations when there's kind of a glaring, obvious one right in front of us.
Jim, 1 week to go, we think. We thought that in 2000, and it didn't turn out that way, but we'll see how it all turns out, presidential, congressional, otherwise. 1 more week. You are off tomorrow, so we will visit with you on Thursday.
See you Thursday, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today, and be sure to tune in again tomorrow. There will be a Wednesday edition of the 3 Martini Lunch.